the spirit of what Jeff mentioned about sometimes you can read something and not think about all of it, or many times, particularly in my case, sometimes we have a phrase or part of a verse or a verse that we hear often and we associate it out of context, or maybe we just don't associate it with the context. And in that case, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus tells the apostles, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And I don't know if I'd thought about it before, but Jesus tells his apostles, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," on the night that he is betrayed, on the night that he is taken to be unjustly tried, and he will soon face his death on the cross. But yet, he tells his apostles, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Before that, he knows that he's going to overcome the world. He knows, as surely as he says it, that's going to be the case. God had a plan that he was going to do his Father's will, to give his life on the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, we can see this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus could say to his apostles, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," because he was going to do it. He was going to overcome the world. He was going to overcome sin. He was going to overcome all that had been done against God's plan. God was going to have him have a special people. He was going to enable that we could stand before God because he was going to give his life. And he knew what was going to come. He knew that there would be suffering. He knew that there would be the cross. He knew the shame that would come with it. But yet he knew that if he overcame, then he would sit down again with his Father. And now, because he has done that, we can have great confidence to know that we can overcome as well. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Just as Christ overcame the world, we can overcome the world because of our faith. But why? What faith? Why do we have this faith? Why do we know this to be the case? Well, we can look a little more in Hebrews to see what Jesus did with his death. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it was appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ has offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." We can look eagerly because Christ did die for us. Once for all, he offered himself for our sins. We can continue in chapter 10. "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices," speaking of that of the old law, "there was a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We are being sanctified by Christ. We are sanctified by Christ and being sanctified by Christ because he offered himself once for all. Not the blood of bulls and goats, not the sacrifice of the old law, but one sacrifice, himself, the body which God had prepared for him to be given on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we are sanctified, we are forgiven of our sins, and we're redeemed by Jesus' sacrifice. We can be reconciled to God, and we are able to overcome the world because Christ overcame the world for us, and because we can have faith in that. So, rightly, we can be of good cheer. Rightly, the apostles can be of good cheer, because even with the tribulations that Christ was to face, even with the persecutions the apostles would see, even with the challenges that we see and the tribulations we see, we can be of good cheer because Christ overcame the world and we can overcome the world. If you want to take a couple of moments to prepare your elements, we will partake here in a moment. And as I end, I want to remind everyone that while, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, we recognize and know it was not easy for God, for Christ. It was not simply dealing with it and bearing with the burden, but yet he had to endure the cross. He had to endure the shame. He was sacrificed, offered up on the cross between two robbers. He was physically abused before the crucifixion. He was, as we said, illegally tried often. He was determined by the will of the people that he was going to give his life, certainly within God's plan. But all these things were a great burden and a great trial. It was not an easy thing. Christ suffered greatly. But yet he could tell his apostles, Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And now we have the opportunity this morning, as we do each Lord's Day, to remember that great sacrifice and the fact that we have been sanctified by his blood, by his death. Let us prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper.